Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Well, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I was reading our first lesson for this morning from Acts, in which Paul has this vision, and there's a man standing in the vision, a Macedonian man, pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." I couldn't help but think about, it was a bit over 5 years ago, that I was at a Mexican restaurant in Dubuque, Iowa, with my classmates, trying to just deal with our senioritis. I'm sure a couple of you in this room know what that feels like at the moment. And I got a call on my cell phone in which I ran out into the cold Iowa February night. It was similar to this vision, right? But instead of being a Macedonian man, it was the voice of Bishop Jessica Christ, our Bishop of Montana, saying, "Seth Nelson, come to Montana and help us." I'm sure I'm remembering that verbatim. A couple months later, I got the paperwork from Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. I'm sure you all know where that is. And speaking with Rod Steggy and others on the call committee, eventually the message came, "Seth Nelson, come to Ronan, Montana, and help us. Be our pastor." And part of that call and the help that was extended to me, or the need that was extended to me, was need to reconnect with youth in this community, to teach the faith to the young, to raise up another generation of the faithful, those who would have hope beyond the present moment, beyond the here and now, to understand the deeper truths of what God is doing in creation and among us. But at the time, the only youth to really be found around here was our very own Sam Maccabee. And I was kind of grasping at straws as what to do. In our call paperwork and everything we sign on to, it is an obligation of us as pastors to lead confirmation, to lead our youth through teaching the Bible and teaching the catechism, or Luther's catechism, which is another way of saying teaching theology, teaching about 10 commandments and the creeds and all that good stuff. So when I was grasping at straws, I found a few names that I could reach out to. And two of the names on that list were Tyler Joachim and Levi Trahan. And I sent them letters pleading with them, saying, "Please, come get educated. Come learn about the faith." They were in eighth grade at the time, and here they are just a week out from their graduation. What a journey it has been. We have shared deep experiences, we've shared a lot of laughter, we've had fun game nights here, and where we decorated cookies at Christmas time and did all sorts of crazy fundraisers to try and raise money for our trips to places like Oregon, or Portland, and San Francisco. Along the way, I have to say that I feel that my call to help people in this community has been lived out in very powerful ways in their lives. But more than that, I feel that as I have called to do my best, the best that I can to help people here, and to specifically help teach the faith to the next generation, they have helped me. They have formed me. They have transformed me, if you will, into a pastor. They have done as much as any, and if not more, to help me to realize what it that call meant so many years, well, not so many years ago, as I was running out from that Mexican restaurant to hear the voice of our bishop better, to do what I can, to minister in this place, to minister in this time, and to minister among our community. So thank you. Thank you, Alexis. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you to all those others who are not here for all that you have done to walk with me these past few years and to let me come alongside you and help in the best ways that I can. But I hope for all of us that this is not just me sharing stories of my life and this ministry time that I've shared with these few. I hope we can all envision ourselves in Paul's shoes as he received a vision from the Lord to go far away and help, to drop everything and see where the need is, see where God was leading, and to respond in kind. It's a hard thing, especially back then, to travel, to be dislocated from those that you know and love, be dislocated from work and home and everything, all the resources that you can draw on, and to go out in a new way, in a new place, in a new time, and to meet strangers and take care of their needs. That's exactly what Paul did. He responded to this call. In many ways, that's kind of like what we all do when we graduate, right? As we, in one way or another, we head on to the next stage of our journey. We go to where the need is. For some of us, we go on to college hoping that we can be better prepared to meet the needs around us. For others of us, that's meeting the needs of in the business world, taking on jobs to do our best to get paid and to provide in working at those jobs to take care of the needs of our communities in a myriad of ways, whatever that may be. But nevertheless, we come to these points in our lives where we are called forward. We are called forward from what we have been doing to what we will be doing. We've called forward to help meet the needs of our neighbors in new ways. And this is really challenging, right? Especially for our 21st century individualistic American mindset, right? To pay attention and let our lives be dictated by the needs of others. Help us. Help us. If we follow this journey that, as Paul did, we are opening ourselves to be vulnerable, to pay attention, and to ultimately have our lives and our careers dictated by the needs of others. It's a very humbling thing when you think about it. And yet, Paul, it seems his journey was made all the complete by answering that call. I love how this passage ends too. Ultimately, Paul is led to a certain woman named Lydia, who is, the text claims, is a worshiper of God, but in Philippi, she was an immigrant. She was actually from the city of Thyatira and was a dealer in purple cloth, which for a historical reference, dealer in purple cloth meant that she sold to nobility. Purple cloth was the color of kings, if you will. And only nobles would be doing business with her on that level. And so she kind of has an interesting place here in the text. She is one, a woman amongst women, right? It says that Paul was called to minister to the women in that area. Now, as we probably well know at this time, I mean, throughout human history, women have not always had a fair shake, but especially in this day and age in Greece, they were almost less than second-class citizens and really had a hard time of making it on their own. So the fact that Paul attends to the women, that ministers to them in particular, is gives even more profound meaning to how far he was willing to go to answer that call that he helped the people in Philippi and Macedonia. That he was attending to the neediest of the needy, and he was making that his business. But I love how this text ends, because it's not just him pouring himself out in service to others, but it ends with him being served in return. He went to Lydia, preached the gospel to her, and she was so moved that she had her whole household baptized, prevailing upon him. And in turn, she hosted him there. On the text later in the book of Acts, it says that Lydia was kind of served as a home base and is served to be as kind of like a key person at the church that was started at Philippi. And later we have the book of Philippians was the letter written to them. So in going out to help the needs of others, Paul was helped in return. Paul was taken care of by those he served. He was served in return. So to everybody in this room, I hope that you can see your lives patterned in that way. When you reach out to support others, I hope that you have experienced that others will reach out in return and take care of you. Love and support and charity is not a zero-sum game, but when you help others, you will be helped in return. At least that's my experience. And I believe that that is an experience that is, through this text we see, is ordained by God himself. That God wants us to reach out in love towards others and wants us to be supported in return. That was certainly the case for Paul. And to our graduates in particular, you guys are heading out into the unknown. You're going to make it on your own in new ways, and that will be a blessing, and there will be many curses along that road, let me tell you. College is challenging. Work life is challenging. Paying bills on your own is challenging. Anybody else? We need to throw in more advice for them. But trust that just like Paul heading out to make his way to the unknown land and to unknown people in Macedonia, I implore you that you trust that God is going with you, supporting you in love, walking with you every step of this journey. And if you cannot, if you ever struggle to remember that or to realize that in the moment, give us a call. You have a church here, a community of folks who faithfully love and support you, and will remind you of God's love along your journey. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.